This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll talk markets. First off, Canadian Prime Minister, speaking of markets, Mark Carney.
We are the second largest trading partner of the United States. We do a lot of trade going across the border where we're cooperating, first thing. Secondly, we are the largest foreign investor in the United States. $500 trillion in the last 5 years alone, probably $8 trillion in the next 5 years if we get the agreement that we expect to get. Thirdly, there are areas, as the President just said, where we compete. There are areas where we compete, and it's in those areas where we have to come to an agreement that works. But there are more areas where we are stronger together, and that's what we're focused on. And we're going to get the right deal. Right deal for America, right deal, obviously, from my perspective, for Canada.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Towards the end, we'll make sure you get contact information. But first, Bob, another day, all-time record highs in both live cattle, feeder cattle, but also comes as gold and silver hit all-time highs. Any correlations or anything we can pull from the two?
Well, there may be some actual correlation where you can look over time and see if gold or silver went up, did cattle go up, or vice versa, and you can kind of see how much of the time over the life of a contract that may have happened. But I don't think that's the correlation, in my opinion, in this instance. I think what you're seeing is a correlation in terms of trading psychology. And what I mean about that is there is an old school trading adage where it said that I'd rather be out of a market wishing I were in than in a market wishing I were out. So what that means to me and how that can be taken is that when you see a strong trending market, such as silver has been, such as gold has been, such as feeder cattle and live cattle, there are many who are non-believers, and certainly they wish they were in, okay, but they weren't in. So they're looking for some kind of dip. So once in whatever their trading methodology, trading psychology, things have sized up to where overwhelmingly the market, in my opinion, has kind of changed their mind on things, and they're more willing to get in because of the established bullish trend, I think that's where we're at. So the dips are getting shallow with gold and silver, and then it finds support. And then also with live cattle and feeder cattle, the dips have gotten shallower and the support comes in a little bit quicker. So I think it's some of that that's going on. So in terms of correlation, I would say that maybe less so directly, meaning if X goes up, Y goes up, but more so just because there's plenty of people on the sidelines who have been wanting to get in and are finally finding the opportunity based on some correction that happens throughout the market, you know, over the weeks or the days. So that's where I'm at with that in terms of any possible correlation. But really, these things wouldn't be moving higher if also there wasn't some kind of robustness in terms of the structure of the market. So with cattle, for example, cash cattle last week in the south gained about $2 to $3, in the north about $3 to $5. So cash market is stable. The five-day weighted average ended about 233.25. That was up from about just shy of 231 the previous week. So just in based on the raw price and or the average there, things are looking stronger. In terms of the wholesale side of the equation, USDA box beef cutout closed at around 365 half-ish. That was up around 3.25 from the previous week. So that on that side of the equation is reflecting basically some steady wholesale demand, despite what normally would be seasonal softening around this time of year. So kind of a contra-seasonal move at the moment. We'll see how things carry out into the fall. Typically the middle meats, that is, carry more of the cutout in the fall. And then you got to look at some of the substitutions that could happen, especially as we head into the holidays with hams and turkey prices. So as long as they could stay strong, I think that that'll also add to some of the underlying bullish structure for beef, and as much as those alternative aren't really any kind of big value if the prices for those can stay, like I mentioned, all, you know, robust. In terms of some of the things that might work against the market just a bit, it could be feed costs. So they're elevated, but I wouldn't say worrisome. So they're off their lows, right? But I wouldn't say they're in a heavily bearish situation at the moment, at least a heavily bearish input for cattle producers, at least as we're looking at right now. I would say the one substitute that could be a challenge to the market would be pork prices, because pork prices have been moving in the opposite direction. So we'll see how that plays out over the fall. So that's another thing that could be a bit of a bearish element, or at least help reduce some of the bullish steam. Not to say it can't make new highs, but maybe it just won't go as high. But again, that's a wait and see type of situation. And then turning to pork quickly, just to dig into that just a bit here. Working against it is hog slaughter. So that extra supply is hitting the market. Last week it totaled about 2.577 million head. That was 25,000 head lower than week on week, but still slightly above year ago levels. And over the last 4 weeks, slaughter has been marginally higher year on year. Hog carcass weights were also about 1% higher than a year ago. So the extra quantity and the extra tonnage has tweaked higher, which has been discounted in the price and causing some of that weakness. On the cash side of the equation, the pork cutout closed at just about 104. That was down from about 108.40 the previous week. So cash is indicating that weakness that we're seeing from the extra supply. And then I would say it's a rather large risk in terms of trade policy. President Trump announced an additional 100% tariff on Chinese goods, walked it back a little bit. I understand that. So that's the situation. But just some of the policy announcements that are being distributed are not necessarily kind in terms of what expectations would be for Chinese demand for U.S. pork if they go into full effect. So we've got the bullish cattle market, feeder cattle higher, and then live cattle that is, and then we've got the pork market that's been under some pressure and kind of working off two different sets of dynamics at the moment. So we'll continue to watch the markets, see where cash decides to trade for both of those, and we will trade accordingly.
We're talking with Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, row crops seem to just keep treading mud, not water, mud. What's happening?
Yeah, stuck in the mud. I like that. Now, there's a couple things you could do when you're stuck in the mud. You could keep spinning the wheels, which likely means you're going to go even deeper. And in that case, I would use the wheat markets as an analogy, because they can continue to make new swing lows. Or you can stop those wheels turning and figure out a way to get out. And I guess we can look at soybeans and corn in that particular instance, because corn and soybeans are trading within their broader ranges of late, whereas wheat continues to trade at or into new swing lows. Now, if we kind of zoom out a bit, I think the catalyst for some of the recent weakness was the announcement from President Trump that he saw no reason to meet with Xi Jinping and his decision to impose an additional 100% tariff on Chinese goods starting November 1st isn't necessarily a good thing for grain futures, including corn. President Trump did soften his rhetoric over the weekend, but you know, bottom line is it's hard to debate that there's an extreme amount of headline risk there, and some of that headline is not good for our grain and oilseed sales, especially if there was going to be any business done to China down the road. So it took a lot of the hope off the table, and I think markets adjusted rather quickly to that. Now we'll see what the reality is over time. In terms of the day-to-day, week-to-week for corn, harvest is progressing rapidly. Right now I've got estimates suggesting harvest is about 45 to 50% done. National corn yields remain near record territory, although there is some volatility and some yield disappointment in certain areas. The estimates right now are between about 183 to 186 BPA. In terms of the weather, South America, we're keying in on them. Brazil's wet season is underway, but it's a bit irregular. They went from dry 2 weeks over the last couple weeks to scattered rains, so the planting progress is definitely ahead of normal, but it could slow things down once those rains start to hit, so we'll see how that plays out. In terms of the soybean market, the harvest progress is about estimated to be 65 to 70% complete. So we'll keep hearing about that as we move along. And once we get to the 80 to 90%, you know, I would imagine that's about when people would start thinking about harvest lows. And we'll see how that plays out in terms of the price and the charts, see how things line up there. Yield trends are mixed. Private networks are reporting yields running about 1 1/3 bushels per acre below last year's final tally. Many farmers across my neck of the woods, say Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, they're reporting yields below expectations. That's primarily due to late season disease pressure and weather variability. It got a little dry, right? So a little disappointing in terms of the yields here. But looking down south, Brazil soybean planting, it's ahead of normal for soybeans at about 12.5% complete versus 5.3% last year. So they got it in the ground. And again, same story as corn. It's been dry, so they can get it in the ground. Now it's going to get wet. We'll see how things might slow up there. But so far, no worries in terms of getting into the ground. And I would say that for soybeans, the key takeaway is the trade policy, like I mentioned, the harvest pressure. South American planting moving pretty darn good. La Nina risk is out there for 2026, although the odds makers, I shall we say, in terms of the weather, don't have a clear picture as to how much of an impact that's ultimately going to be. So headline risk in terms of trade policy, big thing. Harvest progress in full swing, big thing right now, and markets are just trying to adjust to all that. We need more export sales. We need more export sales transparency. It would be nice to get some reports from the government in case business is getting done and price doesn't have an opportunity to adjust because we just don't know what's getting done. So we'll see how this plays out over the short term here and react accordingly.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Bob Maurer. He's with Manduca Trading. Bob, where do we find you?
Sure. Contact information. You can pick up the phone. Give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053 or Reach out via email at bmauer@manducatrading.com or come visit our website at www.myfuturesadvisor.com, and you can reach out that way also.
Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. President Donald Trump.
When you think no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime for the people. But far beyond that, what it does is incentivizes auto plants and AI and all of the things that nobody's ever passed a bill like. We don't need another bill. We don't need any more bills. I said, let's get it all at once. I was greatly helped by our speaker, Mike Johnson, and by the Senate. I'll tell you what, John Thune's been... Both of those guys have been incredible. And we got a bill passed that we really, I said, let's see if we can get it all done. Because these Democrats are like insurrectionists, okay? They're so bad for our country. So their policy is so bad for our country. I said, let's see if we can get it all done in the bill. And everybody said it's not doable. Because it's the biggest bill ever passed in the history of our country. And we got it all done. We don't need anything else. We got everything we want. And now, because of that, that's a big reason why the companies are coming in.